Today we heard a lot of testimonies, and it was just, it really moved my heart. I was so thankful to hear that people are praying and our God is listening. Yeah. And I think sometimes we take that for granted, and that's kind of what I want to talk about today, right? Since last time I've been here, it's been a long time. I went to Ireland, I came back. I'm so grateful to be back in Canada. God is so good. I had to uproot, and I'll give a little bit of my own testimony, I guess. I had to uproot, and the day that I arrived on a Saturday. Monday, I had a job. And God was so grateful to me, and I know I'm not deserving of it. And so little by little, God has been really blessing me, and I'm just in awe of what he's doing. And I think this year has been a real big blessing for us because we were blessed with Levi, and he's been a bundle of joy and a lot of work, but it's been really good, and it's something we never expected to have. And we didn't think that us as a parent, what it would look like. But I think God believed that this was the right time, and he had it for us, you know. And I think we're still figuring things out, but you know, it definitely has changed. You know, I find that God had grace upon Keisha and I to be father and mother for in this period of time, and our lives are never going to be the same. I can already see myself changing little by little. Each day I'm at work and I'm concerned about the things. It's just I'll be at work and like just randomly I'll just like, I wonder how he's doing, you know. Like I was, you know, I never thought myself to be that type of person, you know, like constantly wondering and so on. But it's definitely life changing. I also found like my mentality and my heart has changed in how I perceive things. So like one of my greatest accomplishments right now is if I get to burp Levi. Like once he gets to burp, I'm like, I feel so accomplished. And we have like a competition at our house who can burp in the most. Right now my mom's in the lead with 3 burps a session. Keisha and I are tied for 2. My dad is no burp, so we actually had to change who's the head of the house at this point. I'm just playing, but it's been a good journey so far. And you know, he's a cute kid, and he came out with I think almost all the problems a little kid would have. But you know, God is grateful; he's pulling through. And you know, we had a few runs to the emergency and stuff, but everything's okay by the grace of God. You know, he's doing good, and so it's a new stage in my life, and I'm very excited. But at the same time, there's something more that's happening. Before we get to that, I just thought we can start with a little prayer, and we'll go from there. Just give me 1 second. I'm too excited. Okay. Just right before we pray, I just really want us to just take in who we're about to speak to, who we're about to pray. And as we speak these words, just remember that there was a person, God, who allowed us for us to breathe today. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Just nothing of us, just only of you, O Lord. We come here to worship you, not our name or anything else, but you alone. Lord God, as I speak today, let it be anything, everything that you wanted to be spoken. Let there be no exaggeration, no lies, nothing of my own flesh, but only you, O Lord. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that my brothers and sisters who are here, they're able to receive you on a level they've never known before. They're able to know you on a deeper level, more real to them, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I was saying, you know, a lot of new things have been happening. One of the few things, I'm actually excited to tell you guys a lot of things that have been happening in my life. One, the baby. Second thing, there's a few things, but I'm just going to stick to 2 things. I talked about the baby, I'll stop talking about the baby. But second thing that happened was Vision School. And I found that, you know, a few of us are in it, and it really changed my life because it's changing my life already. What happened was a few of these people who are part of Vision School, they had come to my house. And I remember what really intrigued me was they didn't come at a regular hour. They didn't come around like, you know, what time do you expect guests? Like maybe in the evenings, whatever. They came at 1 a.m. And they went into my son's room, and they were there till 6 a.m. And obviously, I'm sleeping in the next room, and it was so loud. And I was like, wow, what is happening, right? And like, I remember going to my dad, I'm like, Dad, what's happening here? Like, what are your guests doing at our house at this time? You know, like, I think prayer time should be at a different time. Keisha's pregnant at the time. And I'm like, what's happening? Anyways, he's just like explaining to me that there is a conference that happens once a year all over the world. And it's part of the underground church. And what they do is that they find a time that's kind of suitable where those countries where there are more stricter laws, where it's illegal to worship God. I hope you understand what I just said. It's illegal to worship God so that they can come and worship God at a time where it's safe for them. And that perfect time was between 1 and 6 for our time, right? And so I'm in there and I'm watching these people worship. And it just got to me that there was something different. There was something different about these people than how I do worship. When I looked at these people, one thing that really stood out was that it was mind-blowing. I just pray that you guys get an opportunity to see that as well, because there were people from Palestine, Turkey, Afghanistan, El Salvador, you know, Guatemala. Like, there are so many places around the world who are worshiping. And what was crazy about it is that I think what I got out of it was when I worship, I believe, and I love God, and, you know, I'm giving it all, but I felt like when they worshiped, they really, really believed that God is right there, and that as they speak and they worship, that God is listening. Like, I just took that in, and I was like, these guys really, really believe. They're risking their own lives, and they're still worshiping, and they're jumping, and they have such a joy. They can't sit still. I saw this older woman. I think she was in Turkey, and maybe she's like in like 90 years old or something, and she's in her wheelchair. She's just shaking, you know, just the opportunity to worship. And I realized, like, I take it for granted. More than that, in my worship, there's a level of fakeness. And I was just looking into my own self, and I saw that I do worship and I pray and whatever to my convenience. But when they were doing it, there was a level of genuinity. God was real to them. God was more than just an object or a person or something that they, you know, build up in church, a story or anything like that. He was real to them. It was tangible. And I wanted that. So that kind of is the start of my journey. I too have been worshiping. I've been really trying to pray. I've been really trying to see. And guys, there has been a shift in my life. There's so many answered prayers. I am just blown away. See, I had this mentality that if I pray, it doesn't happen. That's a God. You know what? Sometimes I don't even pray. I'm like, you know what? This happened because it's God's will. But I think sometimes God expects his children to communicate with him, to talk to him, tell him how their day was, what they're going through, because he is there and he's listening. He's listening and he wants to hear from each and every single one of us. And right now you might be thinking, oh, you know what, I hear this every day, whatever. But the truth is that he is actively listening. What does it mean to be a Christian? Does it mean that, oh, all my troubles will be gone? Does it mean that I'm not going to have any troubles? Everywhere I go, all my problems will be fixed? No, it doesn't mean that. It's the active communication with God. It's actively him being present in every areas of our lives, leading us, guiding us. And sometimes I feel like we kind of miss that. And I personally did myself. And so this underground church has been really, it really revived this thirst for me to know, I want what they have. I don't want to just keep doing what I'm doing right now. I want to step out. I don't want to just come to church every Sunday, hear it one year. I felt good. Yes, I'm gonna proceed for a better career, better job, better thing for my family. I don't think it's about that. It's about a relationship with God greater than what we have right now. Someone who is there for you. And God wants that. If you look at the scriptures, every book of the Bible in the New Testament to the Old Testament, what God desires, his heart, is that he wants a relationship with you and I. It is not something like, and I find a lot of, this is just myself, sometimes my prayers are consistent of things that I want, things that I need, and things so on. And there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes it's just that. I actually forsake the communion, the relationship that I have. Sometimes I forget that God is a real person. He's speaking to me and as I'm speaking to him. And it's something that I'm working on. See, one day, maybe like a few months back, before Levi was born, I was just praying and I was like, God, I just don't want to be just like a regular person, you know, like I just don't want to just pray like for the sake of praying, you know. I do this repetition, I know the formula, in I pray something, and then at the end I add, in Jesus' name we pray, and you know what, that's done. But in my head, I don't know if my heart believes that I just spoke to God, the God of creation, the one who gave me breath, the one who is in charge of everything. I don't know if I had that, but it's slowly building in me. It's slowly growing in me that there is, the person that I'm praying to is a real person. And it's just been growing in me. And guys, I want to tell you about my answered prayers. I want to tell you about, you know, the job, the businesses or financial blessings, the health blessing, the ways, the doors that God has been opening. And it's been incredible, more than I ever thought. I never even wanted a lot of the things, and I'm like, it's more than I can handle. But I really don't want to talk about that. I want to talk more about how God, what is preventing me from speaking, the things that are a stumbling block. And if you allow me, I would like to be a little vulnerable today, if it's okay with you guys, to just share with you what I'm going through. So today, well, not today, a few weeks back, well, actually, I think Pastor Sheila told me a few months back when I was asked to speak, you know, I was like, okay, let's do this. I didn't have much time. I kind of put it off. I had a message, and I was kind of writing it out. And I noticed myself thinking to myself, what would I speak? And more than what God would want to speak today, my thoughts and my emotions were, you know what? Maybe I'll say this and you guys will be impressed. Maybe I'll do this and you guys will all laugh. You know, maybe like after this message, you guys come to me and say, Jovan, you did a great job. And I noticed that it was not about God. It was more about my own flesh. And I wanted to make sure, see, I would have never got to that process. See, when I'm reading it, I'm thinking about this, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, blah, blah, blah. But realistically, I notice that I myself am being a hindrance. I find that God is communicating back to me. For the first time, I find that it is deeper than I've ever had it before. See, I'll give a baby analogy because it's so easy. Every day, my mom, my whole family speaks to my newborn baby every day. He doesn't understand what we're saying. He's trying to communicate, but he's trying to talk to us. And, you know, sometimes he's so stressed, he's crying. I just wish, just tell me what's wrong and I'll fix it. Just tell me so I can understand. But the communication is not there yet. I know that in a year or two, he's able to communicate, vocalize, and he's able to tell me. For that to happen, he has to constantly communicate with me. For that to happen, he has to continue to grow and understand the language in which I communicate. I'm trying to learn him as he's learning me. But the difference is that I'm constantly speaking, but if he doesn't speak to me back, then we won't have a communication. And I find that in a lot of our lives, God is talking. He is so interested in what is happening in your life. He's so interested in what is going on in your life that the question is, are you talking back? Are you listening? Do you know the language in which God speaks? Do you understand? Or are you speaking in a different dialect? Are you speaking at all? See, that is my heart's desire for today. To just build that communication with you guys so that you can understand and speak to God on a deeper level. I'm still learning. I'm not here saying like, oh, this makes so much sense. I'm doing it. This is a change in me. Just a few months back. Actually, if you ask my parents, it's the one thing that I struggle with is praying. My mom would be like, oh, Jobin doesn't want to pray. You know, just anytime like somebody asks, okay, guys, all right, maybe we'll pray in a little bit later, you know. But it is an honor. It is a gift. It's something we take for granted, especially when we look at others who have none and the ones who are fighting for it secretly. And you just realize, wow, I'm just, you know, it's like you have a car, but you refuse to take it. You walk to your work every day, but, you know, God has given you something that you can use. And, you know, realistically, I'm just, if I'm looking at you guys in one way, right? Right now, if we look at one another, the truth is, we will be looking at each other for thousands of years. If we really believe in the Bible and what happens after death, we'll be looking at each other for 1,000 years. And the truth is, some of us might not be there. Some of us, sadly, will not be there. Now, what I say today, will it matter? Will it matter even a little bit? Will it change a little bit? I just don't want it to be just another Sunday where we speak and something happens, or nothing happens. We just go back, we go eat our turkeys. Turkey will come again next year. But what happens to your life? What happens to your soul is what I'm more concerned about. I know that you're going through pain. I know there's struggles. I know most of you on a personal level, we share struggles together. We walk in the same walk. But what about your soul? Are you talking to God? The worst thing that we can have today is that, I just got a thought. For 1,000 years, I have to look at Josiah. Just joking. But, you know, just being understanding that he is there. Okay, now take this in. For 1 second, what if we imagine that Jesus is coming right now today at 2 o'clock? Jesus is going to come. What is going in your heart? What is the first emotion that comes to you? Are you excited about it? Are you just like enjoy? You're like, Jesus is going to come today at 2. Thank God. I just, you know, like, I've just had it with this world. You know, I finally get to go to heaven. I get to see, you know, I get to be with my maker. I get to see what the heck this cherubim thing is. You know, I don't know. Like, what? I don't know what's going on there. Are you excited? Are you really, like, really for it? Or are you thinking in your heart, like, God, I hope you don't come today at 2 because I ain't ready. You know, there's stuff that I want to work on. You know, I'm not right with you right now. There's so much things that could be going through your heart right now. And if you're not ready, why not? When we look at all the problems and the things, the pleasures of this world, things that we do, in the perspective of eternity, it's really minute. And I'm not trying to discredit any of the suffering or pain that you're going. And I'm there with you. I understand it's real. I understand that it's painful. But what's great is that you're not alone. That God is with you. And he's just waiting to help you on this situation. He's willing to talk to you. You're with it. There's some testimonies that we heard today where they said that we're alive and it's a miracle. The truth is, we don't have tomorrow. We don't know what will happen the moment you get out of this door. The fact that we arrive home is grace. The fact that we're breathing today is grace. But right now you may be thinking, you know what, I have some more time, you know, things are whatever. But realistically, I find that our generation is so focused and kind of tunneled vision on our own problems, we forget the big picture. You were created for more. You were created for bigger than this. There is a whole world out there. Scripture is clear on what God expects of us. And it's not this. It's greater than this. You know, I'm sure when it was written in the New Testament, you know, harvest is plentiful, but workers are few. That's a painful statement. That there's so much. See, right now, you and I are sitting here because of a reason. Because somebody spoke to us about God. Maybe somebody spoke to our parents. But are we so focused on our own self that we forget that there's a world out there that needs you, that God has created, that only you can do something? You are the specific tool that will open or fix that machine or a person or whatever it may be, like that you're the one who's supposed to send this message. How can we get to that if we have no communication, if we have no instructions being given to us? There's a lot more that I want to say, but I just got a little passionate because I've been really, really just praying at the feet of God, and just, I feel like he's listening, and I feel like when I don't hear something, there's a reason for it. And I'm okay with that because I know that my trust is in God. And like, no matter what happens, and trust me, there's a lot of things that are happening. When it says in Psalms 90, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, some part of that is true in many of our lives. There's a lot of things falling. But what are you doing about it? Are you really talking to God? Are we, like, the worst thing that could happen after I speak today is that, oh, you guys go home and you're like, Jobin's right, I should pray more. That's not what I'm talking about. Deeper than that, do you really have a relationship? Are you waiting for the last moment? When I was younger, I used to tell myself, I'm like, I'm not going to confess my sins, ask for forgiveness. Right before Jesus comes, I'm going to say it. It's when I first got saved. And then I got really sick. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, forgive me for my sins, you know, just in case I die today. But are you really waiting? Are you really waiting? What are you waiting for? He has given us a life of freedom. He has given us so much. First John 5:11 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching him. I heard of a pastor in Ghana who was preaching at a funeral. He was preaching, the end is near. God will come anytime. We don't know if tomorrow is promised. At the same time, while he was preaching, he dies. What a great way to go. People are dying of other things. What a great way to go. If we're not living for God, if we're not telling them, if we're not excited of the second coming of God, if you don't have that nervousness, if you don't have that anxiety, you know, like, oh Lord, God is coming, it's so exciting, I want to be part of it, then we're doing something wrong, guys. We have to dig deeper. Are we just going to be just regular Christians who just come on Sunday, pray once in a while, worship based on if you like the songs or not? Sorry, I'm guilty of these things. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to blame you guys. But, or are we going to just really say, Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. And this is what's going on in my heart. See, the best part of being a Christian is the constant communication with God, that he is available readily to listen. Some of you might be wondering, why? Why hasn't God heard my prayer? And see, I don't have time to explain a whole lot of this, but I'll try to hit a little bit of it. First and foremost, I believe that God has the best plan for you. There are many things I prayed for, and I'm so glad it didn't come to pass. I'm sure there are many things you all prayed for that you're glad it didn't come to pass. There may be things that you may have prayed for, it may come at a later time. There are other things. In the book of James, it talks about some of the reasons why certain prayers are not answered. Sometimes it could be doubt. Other time it could be sin. Do you guys know the story of Achan? I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly, but it's a story, I think, in Joshua 7 or 8. And it's a crazy story. So Joshua goes for war, always wins. Not this Joshua, I'm joking. And most of the time he wins. This one time he goes to war, and in one day, 36 Israelites die. They lose. Joshua's upset. What the heck, God? What happened? Something like that. And he's upset, and he's wondering, what happened? Why did we lose? And God says, this is what God says. One of your people committed a sin. They stole other idols and did all of this. I'm just taken back by the story. And like, one guy does a sin and affects everyone. Doesn't seem fair. Kind of feels like that guy who did it should have got like chicken pox or something. You know, I mean, like, you know, that person should get what he had done, right? Not the rest of them. Then it got me thinking, actually in the New Testament calls us one body. What we do makes a difference to the rest of us. We have to come together. We can no longer. I think the time for us to just be guests at a church has to stop. And I'm learning. I'm in this journey together with you all. But I think we know it. If you look into your heart right now, we know we can do better. We know there's one more step of faith that we can take. There's more to it than we know. Supposedly, what if I come up today? I come up today and I'm about to speak. And Pastor Sheila and the elders are talking. They're like, Jobin got caught doing something illegal. He just got arrested. He was in an affair. So we're looking for somebody else who can speak today. How will that affect you as an individual who's sitting in this pulpit, in this church right now? Will that make your spirit feel down? Does that affect you on a personal level? Does that affect your faith? We were doing faith together. We're walking together, and you hear this sad news. God forbid that ever happens, but how does that change you in a way? Does that affect you when you hear that one of your brothers or sisters are falling away from it? And I think that's what I'm trying to say. Something that one person does can have a positive impact, same way what a negative impact can be taken by one person's sin. It affects the church. Based on the worship team arriving, I think I passed my time. But I had a few more points, but I'll just wrap it up a little bit. Who here knows what John 3:16 stands for? What the verse is? Can I have a show of hands? A few of us know. Who really believes what John 3:16 says? Good. And what does it say? Whosoever believes will have everlasting life. Anyone who believes will have everlasting life. Anyone who believes will have everlasting life. Jesus actually uses this term again, once again in the book of John. Do you know where that is? Chapter 14, verse 12, where he says, whosoever believes in me will do the work I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified. Matthew 7:7 also says the same thing. Imagine just for one second, Jesus said we will do greater things than he did. Forget greater. Say we did the same things as Jesus did. Just 10 of us. Imagine the impact that we would have on the world. Imagine what we can accomplish. Imagine what potential there is. And I don't believe that today, as we're gathered today, in this place right now, it's not a coincidence. You could have had a lunch, could have went out for a trip, whatever. I believe God really wants to talk to you, to really say that there is more. There's more, and he's talking to you. You have not yet tapped into your potential. And I'm not talking about you're going to be an entrepreneur, you're going to be rich, none of that. I'm talking about relationship with God and to build his kingdom. That is my plea for you. I know I can ask you guys and tell you, my real goal is for you guys to love God at a personal level and just give it all. But I know I can't make anyone fall in love with God. But what I'm saying is that he is listening. He's talking to you. If you look at your Bible and you think, my life is not like this. You look at your life. You know what? I don't walk a miracle life. I'm not walking where a New Testament life, where we're praying, miracles are happening. Like the people who testified today. Is there things happening when you pray? Is there things happening when you talk to God? Are you talking to God? If that's not your life right now, I want to pray with you. Let us have new skins. Take off the old one. And just come together in God and just have that communication. Without having communication, there is no relationship. That's one thing we can all agree on. How do I know we're friends if we never talk? How do we know that you and I love you and, you know, you want to do things for me? It's like, bro, you never asked me, you know? If we never talk, we'll never know. And I think that's what God's heart is. He wants to communicate. He wants to be with his children. That's my cry for today. Once again, I don't want you guys to walk away thinking, you know what, I got to pray more. I really want you guys to focus. My last line today is that I want you guys to be excited about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Just like the early church was. I think sometimes we lose that, and I don't want that. See, if you look at the New Testament church, one thing that they were looking forward to was the second coming of Jesus. Jesus is coming soon. There was an urgency. We have so much to do. With that, I want to close in prayer. If you'll pray with me, please bow your head. Heavenly Father, we come before you. You are such a good and mighty God. You're a Father who listens to his children. You're a God who created us. It is your breath that is in our hearts, in our body, O Lord. We come before you by the blood that was shed for us. Lord, reveal to us that you are there, that you are knocking, you're talking, and you want to communicate with us, O Lord. Help us to have that fervency, the urgency of the second coming, O Lord. Let us know that you are there and you are loving, and let us be able to communicate back with you, O Lord. Because without you, we are nothing. Lord, we pray that our flesh dies and that you may be lifted up, O God. You're such a good God. And we thank you, Lord. Help us to be more different. Let people know that we are Christians when we walk out there. Give us courage, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.